Now, power was on display as the president unveiled his gun regulations yesterday. And joining me now, noted gun expert, Second Amendment guy, and stat king when it comes to actual statistics on gun violence, John Lott. John, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks very much for having me on.
No problem. So what are your thoughts on the actions that the president took yesterday?
Well, I think they'll make people less safe. I mean, there are other problems that one can talk about whether his actions are legal or not. But look, the president, I mean, there are issues here. What are the possible benefits from these new rules, and what are the costs? On the cost side, something that never seems to be talked about is these background checks are expensive. In Colorado there, they're adding about $60 onto the cost of people transferring guns. In Washington, D.C., where the president was speaking, they had about $125 onto the cost of transferring a gun. In New York City, there's one shop where you can get it for $125, and then most of the others are around $200. For transferring a gun. You know, it may not stop somebody like the president, who's, you know, wealth, from being able to go and buy a gun because of that extra fee that's there. And by the way, this fee is in the new guns that you buy. You just don't see it. You see it when you go and transfer a gun because you have to directly pay for
right.
To the federally licensed dealer to handle it. But, you know, but if my research tells me that it's basically law-abiding, poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas, the people who are the most likely to be victims of violent crime, who benefit the most from having the option to be able to go and protect themselves. Police are extremely important. I think police are the single most important factor, but you talk to police, they'll tell you they almost always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred. And so you go and put, you know, $60, $125, $200 under the cost of somebody getting a gun, those are the people who you may stop from being able to go and buy a gun for protection. The president never talks about those types of things when he's dealing with this.
But isn't that, I mean, the strategy is you can't go at it full-throated directly and attack on the Second Amendment, so just make it increasingly difficult. We've seen this with the government buy-up of ammunition. It jacked the price of ammunition and made it hard to find. So I guess
right.
It's kind of a nefarious strategy when you think about it.
Right. I guess I'm not sure I agree that the price has gone up because of the government purchases. I think what's happened there is that you've just had this explosion in gun ownership. I mean, just look at the number of concealed carry permits. In 2007, you had about 4.6 million. The beginning of last year, there were about 13 million concealed carry permits. And just as people go and get more permits or buy more guns, they're going to practice with the guns more, and they're going to buy ammunition. And so just as you had the price of a lot of guns going up as the demand was increasing, the demand for ammunition increased. And so it became harder to go and buy. And the thing is, if you're a producer of ammunition or guns, you think this may be temporary. You keep on telling yourself, look, as soon as Obama leaves office, the demand for these things is going to go down. And so I don't really want to go and build a new factory to go and make ammunition because I'll be stuck with a factory
right.
if when the demand goes down. And so you have basically the price is what makes things equilibrate there. And so it just that's what I think is largely going on. But beyond that, I do think the general point you're making is correct, and that is there are lots of different ways. They just want to make it costly for law-abiding citizens to be able to go and get guns, and they'll do anything that they can for precisely the reason why you say is that it's not as obvious. So, like, in Illinois, when the courts forced Illinois to become the last state to allow concealed carry in the state, it's like $500 to go through the process to get a concealed carry permit. So, you know, they just say, well, we got to do this, so we'll just make it really costly, and not too many people will do it, hopefully.
And when you consider that most of the violent crime is in the Chicago area, in the low-income neighborhoods. I mean, those are the people that would benefit the most from being able to carry a concealed firearm to protect themselves and their families. So
exactly.
it's, you know, John, let me ask you a question, because we talked about this a little bit yesterday. You know, the president's press conference was long on emotional conversation and short on any real sort of facts or details.
Lots of facts, but they were made up. I mean, I can go through, if people go to our website at crimeresearch.org, I go through a whole list of claims that he made during the talk there that are just wrong. I mean, if you just kind of go through them in order, he says, you know, but we are the only advanced country that sees this kind of mass violence erupt with this kind of frequency. It just doesn't happen in other advanced countries. It's not even close. And that's just false. I mean, one need only look at France. Last year,
right,
France had three mass public shootings. We had four last year. But France has a population one-fifth ours. And if you look at casualties, murders, and injuries last year, France had a total of 524 casualties just last year, just in Paris. Over the entire Obama administration, from beginning of 2009 through the end of 2015, the United States had a total number of casualties from mass public shootings of 428.
Holy mackerel.
Paris in 1 year had 100 more casualties than Obama has had, and the United States has had over his entire presidency. You know, you look at other things that he says there about, the website stuff that he was talking about. I mean, it's a Bloomberg study that was put together. He doesn't even mention, I mean, basically what they looked at, they got the people's names who were looking at the website that were there and then did a criminal background search just on the names. The problem is that there are lots of people with similar names in the country.
Well, not only that, I mean, it,
second name,
that struck me.
You're going to end up with people who have criminal backgrounds, even though they may not have been the one who was calling in.
Well,
so it's just a,
let me ask this question, because one of the things, his statement was, a recent study found that about 1 in 30 people looking to buy guns on one website had criminal records. So looking to buy guns, does that mean they placed an order and then failed the background check?
No. See, what happened was they set up this website, Bloomberg's people did, and then they had you sign in and you put in a name, and then they took your name and they did a criminal background search just on your name. So, look, I don't have a criminal background, but if somebody put in John Lott, I know just from having done Google searches over my life, you're going to end up, there's a couple John Lotts around the country that have criminal backgrounds. So, it doesn't tell you anything useful in what they've done there. I mean, in fact, if you look at the 1 in 30, that's about the rate that people in the general population have criminal backgrounds. But that doesn't even mean the people who looked at the website. So you're right. There are two problems. One is, okay, so the person looked at the website. That doesn't mean that they were going to buy.
Mm-hmm.
But even more, it's not even a serious measure of whether the people who were looking had criminal backgrounds. Where you look at, you know, he was making statements about what happened to crime rates in Missouri and Connecticut. I mean, talk about cherry-picking numbers. I mean, when he talks about these background checks, there's 18 states that currently have these types of rules. So he picks two of the 18. You know, as a researcher, that sets off alarm bells because just out of randomness, you know, maybe the other 16 go the other way. And, in fact, you know, but even when they measure it for those two states, so like Missouri, the thing that they don't mention or the president didn't mention was that the murder rate was actually going up in the 5 years prior to 2007 when the background checks on private transfers was ended. And it went up afterwards, but at a slower rate, at a much slower rate afterwards. You could say it even slowed the growth that occurred there. It's just, and again, people can find detailed information on all this at our website at crimeresearch.org. But you go through these things, and, so the president says 90% of Americans supported the Manchin-Toomey bill. It's simply false. There's some surveys out there that show that 90% of people support background checks. But that's not what the Manchin-Toomey bill did. It wasn't just regular background checks. And if you look at surveys done on just that bill, it had less than 50% of people supporting it. Most people, in surveys afterwards, Roper had a survey that indicated that most people were happy that the bill didn't get passed. So, I mean, it's just, I could go down through these things. You know, he claims that Congress stopped research into gun violence. That's simply not true. That's from another Bloomberg study. But, I mean, it's amazing how many of his facts, in fact, the things that we were just talking about with Missouri and Connecticut were, and as well as the earlier points, were all funded by Bloomberg.
Oh, yeah.
So this claim, basically what Bloomberg did is that there's, in 1996, there was an amendment put onto the budget which forbid the Centers for Disease Control from using federal dollars to lobby on gun control. That's all it did, was to prevent them from lobbying. And a lot of gun control advocates said, well, this chilled research, this stopped research. CDC still has funded research since then. The thing is, only about 3% of firearms research in medical journals, which is what they were looking at, was ever funded by the government. The drop wasn't really a drop. The total number of articles and the number of pages in medical journals actually increased on firearms research. What they measured, though...
John, you're a little quiet. Did you get a? Did you move? Or I'm having trouble hearing you.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
yet.
There you go. There you go.
Firearms research is a percentage of all medical journal research. And so the only reason why the percentage fell was that research on cancer, research on heart disease, research on other things increased even faster than firearms research did. But there's no drop in firearms research. It wasn't chilled. It wasn't stopped, as the president was talking about there. It's just the Bloomberg measure of this. I mean, if I told you that firearms research dropped, it would just be, did it go up or down? What happened to the number of articles or pages? I wouldn't say, did it go up or down relative to other medical journal
right.
research? And, you know, everything from his, you know, talk about cherry picking, is this knife attack in China. Look, before I get into it, I'll just say, look, guns are more deadly than knives, but guns also make it easier for people to protect themselves and others than knives are too. So there's benefits and costs. But he picks one knife attack in China. I can give you other knife attacks at the same time in China that were more deadly, that were successful. I just don't see the point of picking one case where a lot of people were wounded rather than killed when you have other cases that are there. And so it's just, I mean, it's embarrassing how extreme. So, like, he talks about 30 children a year under age five die from accidental gunshots in the United States.
Right.
I wish it was zero. The thing is, he didn't use the most recent data. You know, it's kind of like he, out of the last 5 years, there's 1 year when it's been five or 30 deaths. All the other years, it's been kind of in the 20s someplace, as low as 24. The last year, 2014, it was 24. It's like he says, okay, we'll pick one from a couple years ago because that's higher. We won't use the recent couple years of data. We're just going to, because I like it to be over 30 rather
right.
than less.
Hey, John, I have to go to break. I know that you are busy. Can you stay for another segment of the show, or do you have to take your leave now?
I may be... I'm supposed to be getting a call.
Well, why don't I do this? I'm going to put you on hold. You can talk to our call screener. Let him know. Hopefully, we'll be able right. to have you back. But if not, we'll have you back on another day very, very soon. I'm sure you're sure. in high demand right now. John Lott's website, crimeresearch.org. I will also link directly. I'm going to send this out on Facebook. You're sort of fact-checking the president's statement because I think that there's a lot of valuable information on that.
All right, thanks.
John, I appreciate your time today. We'll be right back. 2:30